ever breathe. We live for you. We live for you. Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever save.
And I will build my House of the Lord. That's Wednesday evening. Welcome to all of our guests and welcome to all of Calvary Gospel Church. We're glad that you're with us. If you're with us online, we want you to share it with someone. Make sure they know about their opportunity to reach us online. If you're here in person, please bring someone along. It was so exciting to be in the house of God on Easter Sunday, wasn't it? Amen. You're a guest of ours here. Please take advantage of the connection card. Give us a couple of points. You may be seated if you wish. A couple points of information that we'd like to get back to you, let you know how much we appreciate your presence here. And if you're online, you can respond with the bit.ly link at CGC Guest. And hopefully... you will be back again. Looking forward to filling the house of God. The more we're able to open it up, yeah, pretty soon many of you that are online will be here with us in person. Praise God. Amen. We'd like to also let you know that there are giving options. You can give to the work of God here in the house by putting your offering in the plexiglass containers out in the vestibule on the kiosk. We can also give online, cgcmadison.org /giving. You can, of course, always mail your offering in to the address there presented on the screen. And you can text to give. But it's important that you use a key word and an amount. Tithes, offerings, and the MM is Mother's Memorial. And we also have Save Our Children. So you can... give to those offerings as well. And we want to encourage you to do that. God will bless you for it. Amen. Amen. This week, this weekend, we have the Fellowship Hall Renovation Project. There's some excitement there. There are a number of people who have already indicated that you're coming, but we need to get a real good idea of just how many to expect. There will be some refreshments, some food, for those who are working here. So if you intend to be a part of that renovation project on Friday and Saturday, hopefully it will be done by Saturday, hopefully won't have to go into Sunday, please stand if you're going to be able to do that. All right, we have it on video, so we know who you are. So, thank you. Praise God. Next Wednesday, we'll have a special missionary service with Marcus Brenos, missionary to France. Woo! Amen. That will be, it's always a blessing to have one of these great servants of the work of God to come and share their burden and to open our perspective to the broader work of God. Sunday, April 18th. We'll have another guest speaker, pastor and evangelist Aaron Wright, will be ministering the word of the Lord. Brother Wright has been here before. He's a dynamic speaker. You'll want to be here for that. Bring someone, invite someone to come. Then also on Monday, April 19th, we are beginning in a virtual marriage workshop, a six-week virtual workshop. The deadline to register is this Sunday. Discovering Intimacy in Marriage. You can scan this. If you're watching online, you can take your phone and scan the QR code on the screen, or, of course, you can do it on one of the posters, the flyers that's posted around the church here as well. But the deadline is Sunday, so please keep that in mind. If you would stand, we want to go to the Lord in prayer. Our dear brother Dan Powell is going in for quintuple bypass surgery tomorrow morning. So we want to remember Brother Dan in prayer. And I'm, if you know of someone who has a need, or if you yourself have a need, we'd, I'd like you to indicate that by raising your hand at this time. If you feel comfortable, you can ask someone near you to pray with you. Let's pray for this service, but let's also pray for all of those needs that are presented here and for Dan Powell as well. In Jesus' name, Lord God, we do not take lightly this opportunity to come to you. We know, O God, that you are open to our prayers, that you are waiting on us to speak in faith. So now, Lord God, we as the people of God and your children, Lord, we call upon the name of Jesus Christ on behalf of Dan Powell, our friend, our brother. And we ask, O God, for your great spirit, Lord, for your hand, for your ministry to rest upon him in this moment. O God, let the Holy Ghost stir him and bless him, encourage him, Lord God. If we pray, God, first of all, for healing, O God, for total healing, that this would be even unnecessary. But if he does go to surgery, Lord, we pray for your anointing and your blessing upon these professionals, these doctors and nurses and the technicians that will be taking care of him. We pray, God, for insight and wisdom, Lord, as they work together for Dan's sake, oh God, that this surgery will go well and be successful and that he may recover quickly. We pray for your blessing upon all of this process and all of the people involved in this, in Jesus' name. We pray, God, for these many brothers and sisters. Lord, you know every need that was identified here tonight. You know every person and what their need is. In Jesus' name, we pray, God, release your virtue and your word to confirm, O Lord, your will in these lives and these situations. We ask for your blessing upon this service tonight, that what we do here will be an honor to you and will be used by you, O God, to build up the kingdom of God. Let your anointing be upon Pastor Jerry Simmons as he brings us the word of the Lord. Let our hearts and minds be responsive to your word, to hear your voice and to be obedient to it. We ask all of this in the name of Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Your love is pure. Your love is precious. Your love is all I need. Your love surrounds me. Your love astounds me. Your love is everything, and I run to you. What a beautiful name it is. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a beautiful name it is. Nothing compares to this. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus. You didn't want heaven without us. So Jesus, you
Let's just worship the Lord for a couple more minutes right now. He's worthy. We praise you, Lord Jesus. We thank you, God, for what you're doing in the sanctuary right now, God. Hallelujah, Jesus. We praise your name, Lord. We thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Many of you don't know that we have a text group amongst the pastors to try to keep us all in line and keep us in the know of what's happening. So if we find stuff out, we text to the group. And today, Peter asked the question about an hour before service, who was preaching today? And so Phil texts back, it's you, buddy. And Peter was like, I got this. What they didn't know, which was really funny, is about 10 minutes before that text message, I got into the car. We all was trying to hurry to get to church. I was working on a project at my house, and I got in the car, and I put it in gear, and I got to the bottom of the driveway, and something hit me in my heart, and I'm like, something's wrong. I don't know what it is. All of a sudden, I was like, I better check the schedule. So I looked at the schedule real fast, and I noticed an email that was sent a couple weeks back that I never opened. It was telling me that I was preaching today. So little did they know that they were picking on Peter, but I had literally just realized that I was speaking like 5 minutes before they were picking on Peter about it. So you guys can be seated. So it's not that I'm not prepared. Just wasn't mentally ready, if that makes sense. I don't know if that's ever happened to somebody before. So I still can't find my iPad that I normally would preach from. I don't know where it is. It's just missing. And so today I should have been studying. I took the day off because I knew I was going to be here all weekend. So I took the day off, and I was trying to put my father-in-law's car back together that's in my garage. I was converting it to fuel injection and turbocharging it. And I wanted to get it to him because it's his birthday this week, and I was trying to hurry up and work on that. So I was working on that today. And when I was working on this actually Monday, which is typically my day off, but Monday I was on the car and I was filming some things and doing some things and making some mental notes, and God kept messing with me about a question I had about the Passion Week. And so literally while I was supposed to be Monday putting the car together for about 15 hours, I was in my basement studying scripture, and I had no idea really what it was for. It was just some questions. And in the course of that time, somehow I sort of recommitted my life to God again. I don't know if anybody ever has to do that occasionally, but I was not realizing after I was reading through some of the scriptures that I was kind of drifting a little bit. And not that I haven't been busy. I've been very busy. And the reason why I didn't know that I was supposed to be preaching tonight is I hadn't opened that email. Just a bunch of emails came through during district conference, and I wasn't looking because I was away for a week at that, and then worrying about getting Father's Day offering together in the state. And then I had a meeting in Green Bay on Saturday, and we also had Easter, and just a lot of things stacked up. And I was realizing my plate was pretty full, but I'm thankful that God had poked me a couple times this week and made sure I was ready for preaching today. This is going to be a little different. Normally, I spend a little time trying to distill my thoughts, and I'm a little scared to show you the way that my brain thinks. But this is raw, right out the well today, so it's just going to be what it is. All right, so let's turn to Scripture. What's Genesis 1? Verse number 5, I'm just going to be teaching today about the Passion Week, if that's okay. We just finished Easter. The Passion Week was the week of Easter, the few days before and up to Easter Sunday, okay? And so Genesis 1:5, I'm just going to set this up a little bit. I'll try to read fast. In fact, brother, if one of you, do you still have a mic back there? If I throw you some scriptures, could you read some while I'm going just to make this go by a little quicker? If you could turn to Genesis 2:1, brother, that'd be great, brother Seidel. I'm going to read Genesis 1:5, and we're going to get moving along here. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and the evening and the morning were the first day. In the Jewish life, the evening is the beginning of the day, and the night, that so the evening starts a day, and it goes all the way from evening into night. And in the morning happens, and then it goes all the way to the afternoon, and then the evening comes again. And so what we start our days at 12 o'clock midnight. They started their days at the evening time. It was the evening. Evening and the morning were the first day. It was the beginning. Go ahead, brother.
Tell me again. Verses?
2:1.
2:1. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them.
You can read the next one.
And on the seventh day, God ended his work, which he made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work, which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work, which God created and made.
So these are two specific scriptures that set up the Jewish calendar's basic parts, the day and the week. The week is based upon 7 days, and the seventh day being the Sabbath day, that's a blessed day. And the days is evening to night. And so everything is going to be based off these two rules, if that's okay with you today. Now, brother, could you turn to Exodus 12 and verses 3 and 8? And I'm going to read John 12:12, and we'll start moving along here. Just to preface what I'm doing here today, I want to show you in Leviticus, in the law, how the day, how the week was set up for the feast days. And I want to show that how that mirrors the Passion Week, if that's okay. So, is everybody with me? Oh, boy. This is going to be good. John, Exodus 12, 3 and 8, if you'd read that, brother, that'd be great.
Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th day of this month they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man, according to his eating, shall make your count for the lamb. And your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. Ye shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats, and ye shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month. And the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door posts of the house wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs shall they eat it.
This is the Passover scripture. Many people are familiar with that. We just celebrated Easter. Two specific dates that are mentioned in this portion of scripture is the 10th and the 14th. The 10th day of the month was the day that the family would get the lamb and they'd pull it aside and they would make sure it was without blemish. They'd watch it for a few days, make sure it wasn't sickly. And so on the 10th day of the month, that was when they did this. And now they'd watch that lamb for a few days. And on the 14th day of the month, they would kill that sacrificial lamb and put the blood on the doorpost. You know that. But if we were to wake up early in the morning, at the beginning of a day, we would just wake up 8 a.m. or whatever, 7 a.m., and we'd get up and we'd kill that lamb if that was our kind of day. But for the Jews, the beginning of the day, the beginning of the 14th day, it was at the evening time. So at the evening time, they went and they killed the lamb as soon as it was completely dark. If you remember reading through the story, it was a nighttime event, right? So they made their journey at the nighttime. And so the evening was the beginning of the 14th day of the month. The reason why I bring this up is that the Sadducees and the Pharisees, they questioned each other about how to determine when to kill the sacrifice. The Pharisees would kill the sacrifice on this, what they called the second evening or the afternoon of the 14th, which would be the almost 24 hours different from when the Sadducees would kill the lamb, right? And so let me just read that scripture that I was going to read, John 12. If you could put that one on the board, I gave you the scriptures. John 12 says, and they shall eat, I'm sorry. And on the next day, much people that were come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus wasn't come into Jerusalem, go ahead, took branches and palm trees and went forth and met him and cried, Hosanna, blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord. And so this is, everyone knows what this is. This is Palm Sunday. But if you didn't realize, this is the 10th day of that month. It's the same exact day that they would have taken a lamb and set it aside. And so whenever the Jewish family was pulling aside a lamb, it was the same exact day that Jesus was coming into Jerusalem to present himself to Jerusalem. And when he presented himself to Jerusalem, they threw palm branches down and they said, Hosanna, Hosanna. Basically, they were crowning him king. And so for the very first time, Jesus basically admitted to the fact, yes, I am the king. And so whenever he came into the city on that day, which I believe was a Monday, on that Monday, he came in riding on the donkey and basically, for all intents and purposes, establishing himself as the king of the Jews. And so that really messed with the leadership in that area, because they knew what he was doing and they didn't like it. And so if you could go on to the next scripture. So think about this. The day that the lamb was taken and set aside was also the day that Jesus walked into Jerusalem and was declared king. So Mark chapter 11, verse 17, if you could bring that one up. So on the next day, he taught them, saying unto them, Is it not written, my house shall be called of all nations a house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves. Everyone knows what is about to happen here. This is the day that Jesus went back into Jerusalem and he cleaned the temple. And he kicked out the money changers and he set everything back in order. And so at this time, Jesus entered into Jerusalem and declared himself to be a priest. And so we have a king the first day, on the 10th, on the 11th, he is now a priest. And he's declaring himself, basically, this is my house. This is my temple and I'm going to clean it up. And so if you could go on to the next scripture, please, appreciate it. And he went into the temple, and he began to cast out them that sold therein and them that bought. Next scripture. I'm sorry. There you go. Okay, so I'm getting a little out of whack here. So this is the 11th. So we were at the 10th, he declared himself to be the king. On the 11th, he declared himself to be the priest, okay? So this is Tuesday. Now on the Wednesday... that would be Matthew chapter 24 and Mark 13 and Luke 21. Jesus, after he came through and he declared himself king and he declared himself to be the priest, on the next day, he went in and he started to prophesy. And these three chapters, I'm not going to read them all, but there's lots. He talked about the destruction of Jerusalem, that if you tear his temple down in 3 days, he would rise it back up. There was prophecy after prophecy after prophecy after prophecy. He declared, he became the prophet basically to Jerusalem. And all of those three chapters full of prophecy, and more so even than the ones I even put up there. During that time of prophecy, he set himself up to be a prophet. This is the very first time in all of history, of all the Jewish history, that one man had become the king, became the priest, and he became the prophet. No man had ever fulfilled all three roles, and no man has ever been able to do that. We've seen that Saul tried to act as a priest at one time. He was immediately rebuked by God because there was only one man who was ever prophet, king, and priest. Amen. It was Jesus Christ. So this was Monday, Tuesday. Now we're on Wednesday. Wednesday was the day of the prophet. On the next day, I'm going to skip through some of these because if I don't, I'm going to run out of time. Somehow I lost some time on the clock up there. It's just like disappeared. I don't know where it went. On the 13th day of the month, on a Thursday, we find Jesus in John chapter 13 through 18. And if you read through these scriptures, we find that Jesus has not prophesied very much at this point in time. He's not been acting as a king. He's not been in a priestly role. But at this point in time, he's been anointed for his burial. It was this day that they came with the spices and they broke the spices, the alabaster box, and they anointed him. And you remember that Judas came to him and was very upset that this was such a huge waste. And he said, don't mess with her. You don't even know what you're doing right now. She's anointing my body for burial. At this point in time, on this day, he had been the king. He had been the priest. He'd been the prophet. But now he's becoming something that no man has ever been. He became a lamb, the sacrificial lamb of God. And so in these 4 days, he's become four different things to Jerusalem that they had never seen a man with three roles of the highest roles that were in any of the kingdom, the prophet, king, and priest. But now he's coming as something that, how could a man be a sacrifice? How could a man be the lamb that would be slain? And so this would take us back into that scripture in Leviticus 23 and verse number 5. If you would put that on the screen. In the 14th day of the first month in the evening is the Lord's Passover. Next scripture, real fast. I'd like to just read a little bit. And that day was the preparation and the Sabbath drew on. And so this is a weird part of scripture. It was very confusing. Because what happened is on this day, right after that Jesus had his body anointed, he went to his disciples and he said, why don't you go into the city and look for this place that's going to be completely set up. I want you to find this upper room, and we're going to have the Passover dinner. And so when Jesus had said that to them, there was no questions asked. They already knew what Jesus was up to. This was on the 13th. The 13th was the day that they began to prepare for the Passover. And so the 13th was the day that they went and they got all the stuff together. They got all the food ready for the Passover. And then Jesus went after he had already been anointed and he went into this upper room. And we read about this experience, John chapter 13, 14, 15, 16, 17. All of these chapters are all the experience of Jesus knowing that his body's just recently been anointed. This is the time when Jesus washes his disciples' feet and he breaks bread with them and he explains to them the communion. This was on the eve of the 14th, okay? So the 13th was their preparation to get this together and his anointing. And when the night came, they had what we call the Last Supper. Everyone familiar with that? So here it is on a Jewish day, the 14th, right? The 14th, if you remember back in Leviticus 23, the 14th day was a very important day. That was the day that you would take and you would kill the lamb, right? And so on this 14th, which what we would call Friday, this we went Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday was the anointing. So you got the king, you got the priest, you got the prophet. Now you have the lamb that's anointed, and now you have Jesus eating Passover dinner seemingly 24 hours before everyone else in the whole entire city was eating it, right? If you remember right, the Jews were very, very worried about trying to get the sacrifice or getting the crucifixion together so that they would be able to put Jesus in the grave before the two things, before the Sabbath, but also before the high and holy day of this great feast. Because if you remember right, the day that Jesus was crucified, they called the preparation day. But literally his disciples prepared a day early for the preparation day. So now we see this problem with the Sadducees and the Pharisees. The Pharisees were in political power and control. And so they believed that it was the second eve. And so they were 24 hours off because Jesus, I would assume, would be right, all right? And Jesus saw it as the 14th is the 14th, and it's a nighttime event. At the eve of the 14th, you kill the lamb. And so he had his Passover at the right time, the eve of the 14th. In the middle of that night, we know what happened. In the middle of the night, he taught his disciples, he washed their feet, and he did all that. But then later, he stepped away, and he went into the Garden of Gethsemane and asked for the Lord to, if it's okay, would you take this cup away from me? But if not, I'll accept it. And then his disciples, they all fell asleep on him, right? And then Judas came later with the Jewish folks, and they just captured him in that midnight hour, right? So we're familiar with this. And so this is the day of the 14th. The same 14th that's in Leviticus 23. And so there's two preparation days. The preparation day that the disciples looked at, and the preparation day that the Pharisees were worried about. And there's two Passover times, the first evening of the 14th and the second evening of the 14th. It's really strange how that works out. And so Jesus seemingly played up on this idea that they were fighting and bickering over doctrine. And the Sadducees, they fought the Pharisees on lots of things. But this was one of the things. Seemingly the Sadducees were always wrong, but this was one that they were actually right about. And so we see this happening on Friday. So this would be what we call Good Friday. Good Friday would be the day that Jesus was crucified. And so we know that this happened. During the middle of the night, Jesus jumped around to multiple places. First, he went before Annas, which was a powerful ex-high priest in John 18. Then Annas sent him to Caiaphas, which was the ruling high priest in Matthew 26. And then there was a trial before the entire Jewish Sanhedrin, the full council in Matthew 27. And then after that, the Jews were finally done with him. They sent him on to the Romans. And the Romans, the first trial began with Pilate, the high Roman authority. And then Pilate found that there was a little flaw in the system. And so he's like, I'm going to get this off my plate. So he sent him to Herod Antipas, the ruler of Galilee, in Luke 23. And then that fella, he's like, I figured out how to get this back off my plate. And he sent him back to Pilate. And Pilate was, at this point in time, embarrassed probably at how terrible this looked. Probably ready to just sweep everything under the rug. His wife was even hounding him, don't touch this innocent man. He was frustrated, didn't know what to do. He literally washed his hands. He said, I'm not going to take this guy's blood on me, it's on you. And then you remember the Jews, they all cried out, let his blood be upon us and on our children. And so Pilate allowed for Jesus to be crucified. I won't go through all the stages of crucifixion, but this is still the 14th. On this 14th, he's already had his Passover, and most of Jerusalem who were Pharisees were waiting to eat their Passover that very night. On the 15th, first of all, there's some question on when Jesus was exactly put into the grave. Was he put in the dark? Was he put in the daylight? We don't really know. It's hard to find out. And I've been willing to learn. I still have lots of questions about this. But I know one thing is that when Jesus was on the cross, there was this weird part of the day that was darkness. It was a weird part of the day that was almost like a night that God had inserted in the middle of the day. And no one really understands why that existed. Or there's really not a reason for it besides maybe the fulfillment of some prophecy. And it might be a stretch, but maybe I'll talk about that in a moment. But we know that Jesus, no matter what, was in the grave on the 14th day. The same day that the Jewish man would slay that lamb for their family and apply that blood upon the doorpost. Amen. The very next day, on this Friday, at that evening time, if you remember, they rushed and they rushed and they rushed and they rushed and they rushed because there was a problem, is that the next day was a day that no man could work. It was the Sabbath day. And so there's lots of questions on which Sabbath it was, because there's some special Sabbaths. But we know for sure if it was Friday, the next day is an absolute Sabbath. There's no getting away from it. It was a day that Jesus wouldn't be allowed to work if he was keeping the Sabbath. And so it would be also a day that no Jews could work. So they kind of rushed his burial. If you remember, right, that Joseph of Arimathea and some of the ladies, they gathered up their spices real fast and they rushed and they put him into a sepulcher that was really close by because they were trying to beat the sun going down. Because if it came to evening, they would be working during the Sabbath time. And that was not appropriate. It was not appropriate to do so. And so we find Jesus in the grave on his first day, Friday the 14th. Second day, the 15th, excuse me, he is in the grave of complete day. Sorry. In this day that he's in the grave, there's some question on what's happening, but there's not a lot that's said. It's just a typical Sabbath. The women are not allowed to work. No one's allowed to really travel. There's a lot of things you can't even light a fire. There's lots of things you can't do on the Sabbath. And particularly this being the Sabbath after everyone just got done eating the Passover meal the night before, if you were a Pharisee, or two nights before if you were a Sadducee, it was a kind of a high holy weekend, so to speak. Some people think that the Pharisees moved it to the second evening to try to make it more convenient to have all of the holidays in the weekend time. But we don't really know why that there was a difference in this. But we do know one thing is that Jesus was in the grave a partial day on a Friday, and he was in the grave a full day on the Sabbath, right? He rested the Sabbath. And the reason why I read that first scripture in Genesis is that Jesus was basically right in line with the week of creation, where God rested on the seventh day. It was the only day that God rests. And Jesus, literally, if we look at it just perfectly, the only day that we know absolutely for sure that God rested was the seventh day on the Sabbath. Because it says early on the first day of the week, which could have been at night if it's early for the Jews. It could have been any time during that day. But we do know that on a partial day of the third day, Jesus rose from the grave. And so there is one scripture that I have a question about, because Jesus in one scripture in Matthew says that there's going to be a prophet. I'll give you a sign that 3 days and three nights I'll be in the heart of the earth. But I can't figure out for the life of me why it doesn't line up with the Passover week. I can't figure out for the life of me why it doesn't work out in Leviticus 23. I can't figure out why it doesn't work out mathematically. I can't figure out why. So I have some homework for you. Go and find that out and come back and tell me so I know, because I've been looking for like 20 years of why that one scripture is there. It's just one scripture, and it's been bugging me. Because mathematically, if you can put up that one image I gave you, this is what I do on my days off. I made this graph. Is that even something you can put up? Oh, it's terrible. Okay, well, it's too small. But if you can look on Monday, if I said this right, on Monday was the day, would be the 10th. It's so small up there. Monday would be the day of the 10th, where Jesus was the king. He came in. A triumphal entry. On Tuesday, it would have been he cleansed the temple on the 11th. And so the 10th was also the day that the lamb was pulled aside and set aside for its death. Tuesday, the 11th, was the day that Jesus came in as the priest. On Wednesday, he came in as a prophet. On Thursday, his body was anointed, and he became the Lamb of God, anointed for our sacrifice. And on that night of Friday, that dark spot on the left was the day, that was the moment that he had his Passover meal and his entire six-part trial that was completely illegal happened in that darkness. And in that day of that blue, that's whenever he was tortured and beat and crucified. And in that weird little blue spot under Friday the 14th is that time of weird darkness that I believe that Jesus was probably put in the grave in a night that God created in the middle of a day that's just bizarre to me. And if this is true, which I'm fine with being wrong, I'm trying to learn myself, but Friday would be the first day he was in the grave, Saturday would be the second day in the grave, he rose early on the third day of Sunday, right? Does that make sense to everybody? So partial day on Friday, partial day of Sunday, but the Sabbath day he kept. He kept the Sabbath. And so, if it was the only way that the scripture could be fulfilled is if that little bit of darkness was the first night, that little bit of blue was the first day, night one, day one, then Saturday would be night two, day two, and then Sunday would be night three, And if he rose early, actually in the daylight of Sunday, which is very plausible, then that's the only way that that scripture could be fulfilled in my mind. That God created a special day so that he kind of eluded everyone looking for this. Because everyone was a day off figuring out when he was going to come out of the grave. Amen. So it's already 8 o'clock. But if you look real fast, first fruits is one of the feasts that I'm not going to mention tonight because I'm running out of time. But first fruits fell on that Sunday. First fruits was a Levitical feast day of giving of the first fruits, in which would be the first day that they started counting what they called the Omer. And it was a day that they would do a wave offering. And they did this wave offering for 49 days from that first fruits day. So 49 days, if you'll notice those weeks, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 complete weeks, 49 complete days. So 50 days from the first fruits was the day of Pentecost. Pentecost was the day that the Holy Ghost was poured out, and everyone knows that. And so I don't know where I picked it up, but I've always said 50 days after Passover was Pentecost, but that's almost impossible because 50 days after Passover would have been like day 48, 49. And so it has to be first fruits, 50 days after first fruits. And so I went back and I looked in Leviticus and realized I've been saying it wrong for like a decade. It's 50 days after first fruits, not Passover. It literally says it in the scripture. And so, isn't it crazy the way that God does things? He sets up the Old Testament exactly in order to, and then plays it all out in the New Testament. It's almost like God was writing the script. He hands the script to Moses, and he's like, this isn't going to make any sense to you. But one day it's going to make a lot of sense. And on the day of Pentecost, whenever we received the Holy Ghost, many of you might not realize this, but that was also the same exact day. Pentecost was the same exact day that Moses had received the law. And so they received the law, but we received the Spirit. Amen. And so all of these things, they line up. And so I'm not here to have a massive altar call. Let's all stand for a moment, though. On this Pentecost Sunday, I just taught a little bit. Hopefully it makes sense. Does it make sense? Okay, say 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16. I'm just going to go through it real fast. 10th was the day that the Jews would take and set aside the lamb. It was also the same day that Jesus entered into Jerusalem and declared the king. On the second day, that was a Monday. On a Tuesday, the 11th, Jesus came in and he cleansed the temple. When he cleansed the temple, he declared himself basically to be a priest. On Wednesday, the third day that he was in Jerusalem, he began to prophesy and really shook up the whole entire area, saying that Jerusalem is going to fall, the temple's going to fall. If you break down his temple in 3 days, he'd rise it up again. He became the prophet and the first man to ever fulfill all three roles of prophet, king, and priest. On Thursday, he became the Lamb of God whenever his body was anointed for burial. And on that evening of that, the end of that day, and the evening of the 14th, which would be Friday, Jesus, in the right time, at the night time, it was a nighttime event. Exodus was a nighttime event. He had his last supper, his Passover supper, with his disciples, and in the middle of the night, he had a six part trial that was illegal, and in the morning, he went through a number of other things, but was crucified and buried, possibly buried in darkness, an odd dark night that was created by God alone. And that we know that at that time, the veil of the temple was rent in two. It says that some people even got up out of the grave and was resurrected. We read about this stuff. And so that Friday, when that Friday was over, Jesus was in the grave, and he rested on a Sabbath day completely. I don't know that he even needed to not just pop right out of the grave, but for whatever reason, timing was just the way it was, that he needed to set one day aside, and he rested. And that would be the 15th. On the 15th was the day of unleavened bread. It was a feast that was the exact the day right after the 14th on the 15th. And on the 15th day of the same month in the feast is the feast of unleavened bread and unto the Lord. 7 days you must eat unleavened bread. Now, we know the unleavened bread was because they rushed out of Egypt so fast, they didn't even have time for their bread to rise. And so literally the bread was set aside the night before, and it would always rise in the middle of the night, and they would bake it in the morning time. But this time, it didn't have time to rise. It was not leavened. It never had risen. And so God made that a remembrance of the feast of leaving Egypt. And on the 16th day was always in Leviticus 23, the day of first fruits. It says after the Sabbath in there. The only way that could be is after that Saturday, which would be the Sunday, the day of first fruits. And Jesus was our first fruit offering. Basically, he was the first to be resurrected to new life. And so, not enough time, but the Feast of Pentecost, there's seven feasts, but the Feast of Pentecost is one that falls into place exactly at the right time, that whenever the Holy Ghost came, a representation of law, a thankfulness of what God has given us, but also the time when we celebrate the giving of the Spirit of God to us. Amen. Who's all had the Holy Ghost in here? Aren't you thankful for the Holy Ghost? Amen. Amen. I'm thankful for the Holy Ghost. I can't believe I did that in 35 minutes, but if anyone has an answer to that one scripture that I had about 3 days and three nights, I am willing to be corrected. I would love, I'm learning. Aren't we all learning? I'm learning every day, and that one bugs me still, but it's the only one that I can't line up with that calendar. And so I made that calendar on Monday, not knowing that I was preaching Wednesday. But I'm thankful I studied the Word of God. Amen. It says to be ready in season and out of season. So that's what you got tonight, a little bit of study on the Passion Week. Thank you all. God bless you. If you want to pray, it's all right with me too.
Behold, Jehovah, seated on the throne.
Jerry, for a good word, awesome word. I have to be honest, I don't know that I've ever had that laid out like that before. So thank you so very much. And we have this Sunday, the following Sunday, when Brother Aaron writes here, my wife and I will actually be leaving that Sunday afternoon. We'll be heading down to Texas, and we'll be meeting with Brother Jay Henry, who's going to be getting married. And, he's going down single and coming back married. And so we'll be going down there for that. Brother and Sister Hawk will be also down there. It's good to see Sister Tara Huber tonight. Good to see you, Sister Tara. God bless you. But Bishop will be speaking for us on Sunday morning. So we are excited about that. And it's a great, isn't this a beautiful, beautiful week? Boy, it's just been so beautiful. It's supposed to get a little rain, but that's all right. What do they say? April showers bring May flowers. Wouldn't hurt to get a little rain right now. But anyway, good to see Brother Jeff Neeson. It's been a while. He's had a couple new knees. And so good to see him here tonight. Good to see all of you. God bless you all. Have a very, very blessed rest of your week. Thanks again, Brother Jerry. And thanks for our worship. Sister Abby, Sarah, Jay, and Brittany, thank you so very much. God bless you. We will see you Friday evening. We'll be starting our remodel project, so little brothers and sisters that'll be there will be here. We'll see you then. God bless.